Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Judges chapter 10, if you would, please. Judges chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32, I believe it's the penman Paul writing these words, and he says, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets." Of course, we know that Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the faith chapter. And so sometimes when we read in the Old Testament about these Bible characters, and they're not talked about a lot in pulpits or Sunday school lessons and things of that nature, we don't seem to put a lot of import on their lives or their accomplishments. When we get to Judges chapter 10 and we're introduced to Jephthah in chapter 11, if we're not careful, we will just read this as just another Bible account, without really realizing that God puts a primacy on this man because of all the Bible characters and all the people in human history that could have been mentioned in the faith chapter. Jephthah is one of these individuals. And so I trust as we look at this particular chapter, in fact, chapter 11 and 12, we're going to pull out some truths about this man and see exactly what it meant to walk by faith. And of course, we're not going to handle the account yet in regards to Jephthah with his daughter and how he had to really keep his vow before the Lord in regards to his daughter and how he honored that. And the daughter was for that. And so this indeed is a man of faith. I'm also amazed as a church family when certain topics, as we go through a particular book, seem to present themselves. Last Sunday night, I was doing a lesson on leadership, and of course, 3 weeks ago now, the last time I really preached, yesterday, the last week was Mother's Day, the week before that was grad for the college, and so Dr. Keene was here. I'd started a message on the life of Jephthah and just got through just a couple of points, and I really feel led to finish that message this morning talking about aspects of leadership. Now, you may not qualify as far as what we as society would deem would be a leader. However, there were some characteristics in the life of Jephthah that I want to draw out from this portion of Scripture. I'd like to read in Judges chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. Go into chapter 11 and read a portion of that chapter as well. The Bible says, "Then the children of Ammon were gathered together and encamped in Gilead, and the children of Israel assembled themselves together and encamped in Mizpah. And the people and the princes of Gilead said one to another, 'What man is he that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead.'" You see here that because the nation of Israel had gone into sin, that God allowed them to go into bondage. And then they realized their lot, their place. They realized that they were in bondage and the oppression was getting to them. They cried out to the Lord in repentance. And of course, you know that repentance means a change of a mind that actually leads to a change of action. They repented of their sin. They put away the gods of the people around them. And they began to serve the God of heaven once again and Him alone. He's not going to share His glory with anyone. And of course, we can't just pick and choose how we will worship Him. We must worship Him in spirit and truth, but it's always on His terms because He is the truth. He tells us how to worship. Amen. And so if we want to approach into His presence, we must come as He demands us to come in the purity of heart. He says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy," in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. But they are being, the stage is set now since they have repented of their sin. The stage is set for deliverance. And of course, God works through human agents. And we find here that they began to look amongst themselves and say, "Who's going to lead us? Who do we have that can handle the onslaught, the battle that we're facing? Who can handle this?" In chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah, and Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, 'Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman.' Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob, and there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. And it came to pass in the process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now when ye are in distress? The elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? The elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy words. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. We saw some basic principles of life, and of course one of those was that leadership is influence. We already looked at this, and I just want to bring you into the message and as we go and delve further into the principles of the life of Jephthah. But leadership is influence. And so here the people had been serving the heathen gods, and then now they had no real idea who to look for, what to look for. And then it came to mind that Jephthah was a mighty man of valor. You know, when people are in need, they need someone to look up to. And they started looking for an individual that would help them. And they thought of this man that they had cast out of their presence. And of course, we talked about there how important it is to have a renewed mind. And how important it is for we as Christians to have the right kind of a Christian mind. Number two, and this is where we stopped basically last time, was godly leadership is not dependent upon a person's bloodline. Godly leadership is not dependent upon a person's bloodline. And when we talk about in this context of godly leadership, we're talking about being the individual that God can use. And it doesn't matter your background. As it says right here in verse 1 of chapter 11, it says that he was the son of an harlot. And so, once again, we're realizing the fact that God is in control of a person's life. And that life that yields themselves to the Lord, God can use in a tremendous way. And Jephthah is a great example of that, that even though mankind may look down on him, God did not look down on him. God honored him and God blessed him. So the emphasis on this particular aspect of the message is that no matter where you come from, no matter your bloodline, no matter your past, you can be used by God Almighty. And not only that, God wants to use you. Amen. And we looked at Psalm 139 and we looked at Jeremiah chapter 1 verses 5 to 8. And so the fact of the matter is you had no choice when you would be born. You had no choice who your parents would be. You had no choice of your nationality. You have no choice according to your basic looks and your gender. You had no choice in your natural abilities. That's all up to God. Amen. And so God has entrusted these things to you. He knows exactly what you need. God made you, you. God made Jephthah who he made. And the circumstances, God's not taken by surprise one iota. Now let's go on a little further now in this thought. And let's look at some of the basic characteristics of Jephthah from this passage of Scripture that ought to help us live, whether we consider ourselves a leader or not. Number one, and we get this from verse 1, and that is Jephthah determined to excel in life. He determined to excel in life. In other words, he sought to be the best that he could be. You know, because he was really an offscouring of the earth, so to speak, even though he was looked down by general society, his family had rejected him, even though he may have carried a social stigma upon his life. Yet, at the same time, rather than say, you know what, I'm marked for life, I'm no good to anyone, I think I'll just give up and quit, and I'll just go and do whatever everyone expects me to do. I'm going to be a nobody and turn out to be a nobody. And instead of that, he said, look, I'm going to seek to be the best man that I can be. What a goal for each and every one of us, that we could seek to be the best that we could be to the glory of God. Amen. Not so that we can say, hey, look, I'm the best at something. But no, because we say before God, God, I want you to use me to the fullest, and I'm going to be the best man, the best woman that I could be to give you honor and glory. And Jephthah did that. Look what it says there. He was a mighty man of valor. He was a man's man. He was a soldier. And he was not just any old soldier. As the scripture says in 2 Timothy, he was a good soldier. He wasn't just an average soldier. He was a cut above. He sought to be the best. What a characteristic to instill in our lives. Folks, it doesn't mean that you have to be the best over someone else. But you can be the best that you can be to the glory of God. It's not a matter of me being a better preacher than preacher so-and-so. Or a better daddy than daddy so-and-so. Or this, that, or the other. It's a matter of being the best dad that I can be to the glory of God, being the best pastor that I can be to the glory of God, being the best preacher that I can be to the glory of God, not comparing ourselves among ourselves, because that's not wise, but before God we can say, God, I want you to have my best. We have sort of reached this kind of philosophy today that we're just going to live a little bit above the mediocrity, the mediocre. And we'll just try to get by. Let's quit trying just to get by. Let's try to be the best that we can be to the glory of Almighty God. It's amazing to me that the Apostle Paul, with all that he had to overcome, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's the great resurrection chapter. There's a word of testimony that Paul gives here in this passage. Here in verse 10 it says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. He's talking about, in this context, saving grace. We have the definition of the gospel in verses 3 and 4. But then it says here, he goes on and says, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Amen. So he said, you know what? I have been saved. I have been redeemed. I mean, I was a murderer. If you go back to the book of Acts, and you look at chapter 7, they laid their coats down at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Excuse me. His name was Saul. And we find that he was part and parcel to the stoning of the man Stephen. Then we find him with letters of authority in chapter 9, at the opening chapter there, on the road to Damascus to try to find Christians to cast them in prison. This man, as far as Christianity was concerned, was an offscouring to them. He was deadly to them. In fact, when Ananias got word from God to go and find Saul, he said, I don't want to go to that man. That man is a murderer. That man is trying to find Christians like me and kill us and lead us and throw us into prison. I don't want to. And God said, he's a chosen vessel unto me. And so we find that this is the background of the Apostle Paul. And he said, realizing my past, rather than let that be a defeatist attitude that envelops my life, I will embrace the forgiveness of Almighty God, and I will work hard for the glory of God who saved me. My friends, instead of looking back at your past and saying, oh, I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and I have this blotch, and I have this problem, and I have this on my record, and this, that, or the other, you can say, because of all that and God's sweet forgiveness and His grace daily upon my life, I'm going to seek to serve Him more abundantly than anyone else and everyone else. He says, I labored. I worked at this. He said, I'm working at the Christian life. We just think, oh, I'll just let go and let God do it all. No, He blesses diligence. He blesses work. He blesses effort. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What are you pressing forward today? How are you going forward? How are you working to the glory of God? Seek to be the best that you can be. Jephthah didn't say, look, I've got this social stigma stamped on my forehead, and because of that, I can't amount to anything. No, he says, I can amount to something. I will amount to something. And he became a mighty man of valor. One man that God could use. God can use you. So I see that he determined to excel in life. Number two, he determined to lead and not be led. You notice this, he determined, notice the word determine in the outline. It's determined, that means he made a choice. Rather than say, I'm going to allow other people to lead me in life, I am going to lead in life. Now, there's a qualifier here, as we'll get to in just a little bit. But look at verses 2 and 3 of our text passage of Scripture, Judges chapter 11. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob, and there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. He led these men. You will either be an influencer or be influenced. Did you get that? In life, you will either be an influencer, you will affect the lives of others positively, or you will be led by others. And what we find here is that Jephthah determined that rather than be led in life, he was going to lead in life. And I want to encourage you to, under the influence and power of the Holy Spirit of God, seek to be a godly example. Seek to lead others in the way of godliness. For too long we have people just going this mob and riot mentality. Well, look what everybody else is doing. I'll join the crowd. I'll do what they're doing. And we find that Jephthah, according to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32, was a man of faith. He was considered a leader, a man among men. And you and I should determine that we are going to be godly as well. Would to God that we in this room today would say, I am going to lead others in the way of godliness and not be led in the way of unrighteousness. Jephthah was one of those individuals that determined to lead and not be led. Number three, I like this. He determined not to hold a grudge. You know, Jesus said offenses will come. If you live life, you're going to be offended. You're going to have people say or do things that they don't think before they speak, or they have no discernment when they speak, and they say hurtful and mean, and they'll lie and they'll cheat and this, that, or the other, and they'll gossip and they'll murmur, they'll complain. I mean, they do all sorts of things. And so you've got to determine in your mind and your heart that you're not going to be one that holds a grudge. And I find this so interesting with Jephthah. Because if anyone would hold a grudge or could hold a grudge, from the human standpoint, you would think it would be him. I mean, here he is in his father's house, and his brothers kick him out. His dad doesn't put a stop to it. And here we find here that, hey, Jephthah goes out and he does not hold a grudge against them. Look at what it says here in verse 7. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now when ye are in distress? Oh, now that you're in trouble, you're looking for a soldier. Now that you're in trouble, you want some help. Now that you're in trouble, you want some deliverance. He says, therefore, we turn again to thee now. Verse 8, excuse me. And that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? Notice here, he's got the Lord first in all this. So the qualifier for all that I'm saying is your walk with God. We'll get there in a minute there, but just hold on to that thought. And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, verse 10, the Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy words. And so here we find that he determined not to hold a grudge. Folks, don't go through life with a chip on your shoulder. If anyone could have gone through life with a chip on his shoulder, it could have been Jephthah. But he didn't do that. People are mean. I told my Sunday school class at the beginning, I said, you know what? Some people are just mean. They're just mean. They say mean, hurtful, hateful things. And here people were just mean to Jephthah, and Jephthah did not let that hold him back. He sought to be a mighty man of valor and to serve God to the best of his ability where he was and the way he could. And yet we come up with our minuscule excuses. I can't serve God because of this. Nobody loves me. Nobody. Oh, I mean, all this kind of stuff. We have a pity party. Or we walk around with a chip on our shoulder just daring people to knock it off. Don't be that kind of a person. Take advantage of what comes your way. We all have opportunities that come our way. Take advantage of the opportunities that come your way. I want to go to a passage of Scripture because this is a recurring thing that I find that happens as you deal with people and as you live life. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. I call it the spiritual warfare book of the Bible. Six chapters. Of course, when we think of the armor of God, we think of Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10, talks about putting on the whole armor of God. But in Ephesians chapter 4, now this is in the practical section of the book. Once you understand the opening chapters there of Ephesians, deals with who you are in Christ, your position in Christ. And once you know your position in Christ, that's very liberating, that you're accepted in the beloved. Amen. And then you go into the application of that in the everyday shoe leather, and you get here to the verse 30, and it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." This is Ephesians 4:30. "Whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." What a verse of assurance. And then he goes on to say, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." I don't know maybe most of your backgrounds in this room. I don't know your bloodline. I don't know the positives or the negatives that you've grown up with. I don't know the dysfunction of your family for the most part. And you know what? None of that matters in the economy of God. We find that God's servants yielded to Him. God can use that background to where He gets the honor and glory and praise. Look at Rahab the harlot. Look at Jephthah, the offspring of a harlot. And God used him. He's a man of faith. He's going to be one of the ones, I think, that when we get to heaven, we'll say, "Where is Jephthah? I'd like to meet that man." Of all the millions of people that had walked and graced the earth and had believed in the God of Israel and the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, he's a man of faith. He's one that God said, "Put him in. Put him in." And he's in the sacred writ. But he didn't go around holding a grudge. He didn't go around holding a grudge. Folks, let it go. Forgive. Forgive. Just go before God and say, "God, I'm not justifying what they did. You know, Jephthah, it wasn't right what his family did. But you know what? He didn't hold that against them. Did he let them think that, hey, nothing was wrong there?" Oh, no. Luke 17 says, "If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him." So there's a place for rebuke. And he subtly gives that rebuke here in chapter 11. But by the same token, he didn't use that as a hindrance or stumbling block in his life. He allowed God to use it in his life as a positive, not a negative. We can look at the circumstances of life that come our way and we can actually have it work against us or for us. To honor God or to displease God and serve self. Allow God to use it. Then in the life of Job, here's a man that endured so much, and I'm so thankful that we have chapter 42. But by the same token, Job, when he was living chapters 1 and 2 and chapters 3 on with the miserable comforters till about 38, we find there then he was questioned by God over 80 times, question after question after question. When it got to chapter 42, we've got chapter 42. When Job was going through all that, he didn't have chapter 42. But as he yielded to the presence of God in his life and his working, and even though he waffled a bit at times, at the end we see, hey, thank God Job stood fast. Thank God, because we have run to the life of Job and found so much help. Amen. He didn't use that as an excuse when his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? He said, you speak as one of the foolish women. See, God's got it all under control. Amen. And so, make sure that you determine not to hold a grudge about the events that happen in your life. The people, you know, it could very well be that the people that are hurtful to you today may need you tomorrow. And why don't you put yourself in that position to where, hey, God can use you to minister to them someday. And here you find the very ones that thrust Jephthah out of his house are the very ones that come back and say, help! And what did Jephthah do? He helped. But if he had been bitter and eaten up with hatred and coming up with some excuses, oh, he wouldn't have been good to anyone, not even himself. Number four. I see this about Jephthah. He determined to consult God. And this is what I'm getting to. You know, if you were just to hear the message to this point and not really put it all together here, you'd think that maybe this was some sort of a self-help message, and nothing could be further from the truth, because all of this was able to be accomplished through Jephthah because of his relationship with God. Let's not miss this. Philippians chapter 4, Paul says, I can do all things. Oh, don't stop there. Through Christ which strengtheneth me. And let's look at these passages of Scripture. Look here in chapter 11, verse 24 of Judges. The Bible says, wilt not thou possess that which Chemosh thy God giveth thee to possess? So whomsoever the Lord our God shall drive out from before us, them will we possess. This is Jephthah talking to the enemy. And he's not saying, I'm going to do this to you. I'm a mighty man of valor, and I can do this because I've got some great mental prowess, and I can lead men, and I've got some troops that I've trained, and we'll beat you. He wasn't relying on self. His own ingenuity. He was saying, God's going to do this. Let's drop down to verse 30. It says, and Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands. Notice he's talking to God here. This was all hinging on the Lord God of heaven using Jephthah as the instrument to give victory to the nation of Israel. He wasn't just relying on himself. Look at verse 32. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them. Oh, and look what happened. And Jephthah delivered them into the hands of the Israelites. That's not what it says, does it? Here's what it says. It says, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. So Jephthah had a great victory, but it wasn't him, it was God. But when you're standing on the sidelines, you're just seeing Jephthah. You're seeing Jephthah bark out the orders. You're seeing Jephthah with the sword in his hand. You're seeing Jephthah saying, Send some troops over there. Hey, shore up that line. Let's press forward. You're seeing mere humanity, but mere humanity dedicated to God and God working in and through him to accomplish great things. And that's what he wants to do in your life. Say, is that true? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And just as you yield or anyone yields themselves to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God and walks according to the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, Galatians chapter 5. Hey, folks, you can look and it's not that individual accomplishing great things for God. It's God using that individual. Just as a carpenter uses the skill that he's attained to and uses that hammer to drive those nails. You don't glory in the hammer. You glory in the carpenter. And when mankind does a work for God, you don't glory in the instrument. You glory in the carpenter. You glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. He deserves the honor. He deserves the glory. He deserves the praise. Glory to His name. He determined to consult God. In other words, he walked with God. You know, the more I'm in the Christian life and the more I'm in the ministry, the more vital this particular aspect of life becomes. You are not going to be the Christian that God wants you to be or that you even in the innermost recesses of your mind and heart want to be. You're not going to attain to that unless you develop a passionate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Day by day, moment by moment, walking with Him. How many read their Bible and pray every day? How many don't just say, I'm going to salve my conscience and read a devotional guide? And I'm not against devotional guides. I'm not against My Utmost for His Highest. I mean, it has some powerful truths in there. But by the same token, which of us have gone to the Word of God and say, God, I want to know You. I want to walk with You. This is the written Word of God. And the Word, Jesus, in the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word. We've got the Word. We have the opportunity to fellowship with the Word. People say, well, I sure wish I could walk with Jesus day by day. You can. Through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God and the Word that's in your lap this morning. But we try to cram Him in. God, I'm busy today. I'll catch you tomorrow. My schedule's a little full today. Well, why don't you cancel some of the other schedule and keep him plugged in? Why don't you make him a priority? Why don't you wipe everything out and just say, God, I'm just going to walk with you today. I'm going to talk with you today. I'm going to lay food aside today. And I'm just going to walk with you today. You're going to be all I need today. Folks, you and I have to walk with God. One day we're going to need Him. We don't realize when everything's going right that we need Him because we do need Him all the time. But when trials and troubles and the infirmities of the flesh come our way, we need God. And it sure is great to know that you know where to go right then, right there, and know that He's right there, amen. Then to try to say, where's God? Where's God? God's right here. And Jephthah knew that. Jephthah could say and act with boldness. He could act with assurance and confidence, not in himself, but the Lord God of heaven. Sometimes we look and say, how do people do it? How do they make it? It's not in themselves. It's the grace of Almighty God working in and through them. Praise God for His grace. He determined to consult God. Folks, get to know God before the trouble comes. Number five. He determined to do the job God had given him regardless of the obstacles. Did you get that? He determined to do the job that God had given him despite or regardless of the obstacles. Look what it says here in verse 12 of Judges chapter 11. And Jephthah sent messengers unto the king of the children of Ammon, saying, "What hast thou to do with me that thou art come against me to fight in my land?" So right away, I mean, he probably was feeling pretty good. Family came to him, tried to make those old wrongs right, and said, "Hey, we want you to be head over us." And boy, he could say, "Yeah, now I'm head of this family now. I'm the boss man. Boy, it's about time they recognize me." But right away, he goes right into trouble, doesn't he? You see, there was a job that God had given him, and he says, "I'm going to accomplish it." Folks, every single one of us will be opposed as we seek to serve the Lord. We may be surprised at the direction that the opposition comes, but my friend, you will be opposed. I mean, here we find here, look at Judges chapter 12, if you would, and let's just read. We see here where Ammon, a picture of the flesh, we see that Ammon opposed him, and you expect as a believer, you expect as a nation of Israel, that the enemy around you would oppose you. But here, from your own, within your own group, there's opposition. Sounds much like what you read in the New Testament. Sounds much like what you experience in today's economy. He says, "And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, 'Wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon, and didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire.'" That's pretty serious opposition. "We're going to burn your house down. We're going to destroy you, Jephthah, because you didn't call us." In other words, they're saying, "We wanted in on the glory." But Jephthah said, "Hey, I'm going to serve anyway. I'm just going to serve anyway. Amen. I'm just going to do what God's called me to do anyway. Praise the Lord." Folks, as you set out to serve the Lord, expect some opposition. "All they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Oh, we need to understand that. And we don't glory in it. We glory in Him in it. And lastly, let me just say, Jephthah died well. He died well. He died well. What a great testimony. In Hebrews chapter 11, let me tell you, he says, "What more can I say?" He's been given quite a list of men and women of faith. He gets to chapter 30, or verse 32, and he says, "I could tell you some more about Jephthah. It's a man of faith, man who trusted me, did great things in this life because he trusted me. He died well." Folks, what a testimony. That when death comes your way, what a testimony that you'll die well. Having a good testimony. Having a testimony that you trusted God. Jephthah trusted God. And look what God said. You know, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter what the men of Ephraim said. It doesn't matter what the opposition of the Ammonites say. Doesn't matter those who pat you on the back or stab you in the back. Doesn't matter. Just so God says, "There's a man, there's a woman who trusted me." A man or woman of faith. You and I can be that kind of man or woman. We can be. Because Jephthah is an example.